Please take your Bibles and turn with me in them to 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 18. It's found on page 1296, the Bibles that are in the pew racks. 1 Peter 3, beginning at verse 18. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and the epistles of John. 1 Peter 3. People of God, hear now the very words of God. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. And let us turn to the gospel account of Matthew chapter 7, begin reading at verse 15. It's found on page 1032. We conclude our series through the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll still keep going through Matthew, but we'll take a pause from that Matthew series. We'll move to 1 Corinthians 13, Lord willing, next week. And then after 1 Corinthians 13, Lord willing, we'll head back to Genesis and then back to Matthew, kind of following a cycle there. But we'll finish this part of Matthew. We'll begin reading at verse 15. Our focus will be in verses 24 through 27. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' Then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, you've heard the phrase, "Practice what you preach." We often might hear that, maybe even use it when someone acts contrary to what they've been instructing others to live. Well, in the passage before us this morning, as we conclude our series through the Sermon on the Mount, the great sermon that Jesus preached, our Lord, in one sense, gives us a different command. It's not to practice what you preach, but to practice what you hear preached. And from this comes our theme this morning: do what Jesus says to survive. Do what Jesus says to survive. First, we consider two hearers. Now, throughout the closing of this sermon, Jesus has called our attention to opposites. A narrow gate, a wide gate, verse 13. Good tree bad tree, verses 15 and following. In this section, Jesus speaks again of a set of two types of persons. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, verse 24. Then the other person, verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The difference is not that one person hears and the other does not hear. Both groups hear Jesus' words. Children, this is what you're doing right now. When you listen to the scriptures being read, when you hear the scriptures faithfully proclaimed, you are hearing the words of Christ. Now, we aren't sitting on a mountain, are we, like the original hearers of this? You and I aren't sitting at the earthly feet of Jesus in the flesh, but you are hearing his words. Consider that carefully, congregation. You hear the words of Christ. These are not the words of some mere man. He was man, yes, is man, yet, but not only man. These are not the words of someone you can hear and then ignore without consequence. They're not the words of someone who's got an opinion just like everyone else. These are the words of the Son of God. Jesus here is not dividing between pagans and Christians, between unchurched and church folk, as perhaps was the case with the narrow and the wide gate. Jesus is speaking to you and me, gathered here, listening here this morning. You are hearing his words. He's not speaking to your unchurched neighbor now who's mowing his lawn this morning. He's speaking to you. And Jesus is making the dividing line between even those listening here this morning, even within this very congregation. This is what Jesus has been getting at throughout this entire Sermon on the Mount. Where is your heart? Yes, we have the spiritual enemies of the world and the devil. Scripture's clear. But what Jesus has been bringing before us in this sermon, these chapters, again and again, read back through them, you'll see. It's what the Pharisees missed. Oh, they were really good at seeing the enemy of the world and the enemy of the devil, perhaps. But they were horrible as seeing the enemy of the flesh. Sin within you and me, we are the problem. That sin within us is the problem. Have you been distracted by the spiritual enemies of the world and the devil? Distracted from what Jesus says to us? Have you been distracted by, on the one hand, climate change or white supremacy or systemic racism or Trump? Or on the other hand, by Whitmer or the lockdowns or Q or conspiracies or cancel culture or election results? We have spiritual enemies of the world and the devil. We're not denying that. Jesus doesn't. But Jesus here in these verses has wanted to focus you and me on the enemy within, our sin. As we've seen throughout the series, the Sermon on the Mount, in one sense, the antithesis cuts through the church. Not just the church and the world, through the church. And even deeper, it runs right in our own heart. Considering again the exact difference Jesus is addressing here, the difference is not that one builds and one doesn't build. Jesus speaks of both hearers and compares them to a man who builds. What is he illustrating by that? Well, it seems to be he's illustrating the life you construct. Considered weeks ago, where is your treasure? On earth or in heaven? Family life, work life, church life, mental life, entertainments, recreations, they're all directed by what you believe is ultimate, by what you value, by whom you serve. And this house is built by your actions, your life story, as some say. And when we consider someone's life, we look at what they've done, their actions, their words, that is the visible proof, the showing, the fruit of who they are. Who you are shows up in what you do. At funerals, at visitations, don't we think about events, about what they've done, their life? You can't separate the two. The one is the necessary effect of the other. Someone's words and actions reveal their heart. And Jesus taught us that, what we considered last time, about those who say, Lord, Lord, but don't do the will of his Father in heaven. The difference Jesus is bringing out here is one is wise and one is foolish. The one who is wise is looking to the future, understanding ultimate principles, ultimate issues, and acts accordingly. He or she knows what is coming and works to prepare for it. The one who is wise is shown in this illustration, this word picture, by the one building on a firm foundation on the rock. And the rock about which Jesus is speaking, it's not gravel, it's not pea stone, it's bedrock. Now, children, you look around at different houses, maybe your house. You look at the siding, it ends about near the ground level, but then you look further and you'll see concrete. And if you would dig down a few feet, you'd see more concrete and more concrete until you get to the concrete footing. We pour concrete to have the same effect as bedrock in Jesus' time. It's something firm. It's something sound. Kids, you can come with a garden hose and you can spray all day long. You can spray for a month. You could spray for a long time and it won't do a thing to that concrete. It lasts and endures. This enduring foundation, this bedrock, that's what Jesus' words are. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. He said in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Young people, congregation, do not doubt Jesus' words. Don't think they were good for a bygone era, but not for this modern era. I mean, come on, we've got airplanes, we have rockets, we have computers, we have smartphones. Don't think that these words of Scripture are like the words of Aristotle or Muhammad or the Vedas. They're altogether different. These are the words of one who is a man, yes, but so much more, one who is God himself. They are the words of the one who is himself the Word of God. God, the Word, they endure. At first reading, we might think this is odd. Speech of someone, the air they exhale, that's a rock. When you use this foundation, you're not merely building on puffs of air or ink on a page. You are building on the one who made the air, the one who is Lord of heaven and earth, creator, sustainer, who spoke and everything came to be. The one who sustains all things by his powerful word. You're building upon Christ, upon God the Son. That's the bedrock in this passage. And so it's quite different from the sand upon which the foolish man built. The sand is ultimately the words of man, his own thinking, man's thinking. Whether that be words and thinkings of great philosophers or great religious leaders or politicians or businessmen or even yours or mine. All these are mere sand. Unstable, easily disturbed, that which is undone. There's no power, there's no might when considering mere man's words. Well, then we can't understand, yeah, they are just puffs of air. What am I? What are you? We're nothing. Compared to Christ's words. So the difference, though, is not in that one hears while one doesn't or one builds while one doesn't. The difference is between foolishness and wisdom, which is based upon the foundation. And Jesus relates this to the difference of one's putting into practice what he hears preached and the other's not putting into practice what he hears preached. Doing what Jesus said or not. It's not that one hears and disagrees while the other hears and agrees. It's not that one hears, agrees, and does not try to live it out while the other hears, agrees, and does try to live it out. Jesus focuses on the end product, like in business. What do you get out the door? Do you do them? Divide the path between hearing and action into however many segments you want to do. It doesn't matter. Do you do them? There's no further end point than that. putting it into practice, that's the evidence that you've heard, you agree, you believe, you try, you're empowered, you've been changed by God. Brothers and sisters, if you and I hear Jesus' words and do them, you're building on a firm foundation. Living according to what Jesus says is important, true, real. You're living based on Him. You're empowered by the one who is Himself, eternal, real, true. But if you hear Jesus' words, do not do them. You're building on sand. You're living according to man's values, man's principles, man's worldview, building on the weakness, the frailty of fallen man. Do what Jesus says to survive. You're hearing the words of Christ proclaimed to you. Then what's your response? Are you doing them? Are you not doing them? There are two hearers. Those who do Jesus' words and those who do not. Which one are you? And that's not just one question among 10 in the checklist. It's the question of your life. Who is Jesus? Are you believing? Are you putting into practice? They're all joined. And it will determine the course, the outcome of your destiny, your existence. Because what you and I build, we will be tested. And that's what we move to in our second point. There's an ordeal. There's a testing. There's a common ordeal, a common trial coming upon both these hearers. Verse 25, regarding the wise man's house. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Verse 27, regarding the foolish man's house. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. Great was the fall. So Jesus brings out this trial, this ordeal, compares it to rain falling, floods coming, winds blowing. This isn't just a rain shower, a thunderstorm. This is severe. This is catastrophic. And when we think this, we think biblically, oh, what other storms, what other things of water have we come to? Well, Noah's flood, right? Children, you know that. Or think even of the exodus of Israel from Egypt. Okay, no thunder and lightning, but there was wind, there was water, there was death. In each case, water of judgment came upon two types of persons. Think of Noah's case. Noah had heard, he believed God's words, he did, he built, he entered in the ark. His neighbors, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They heard, they didn't believe and do. Or think about Moses. Moses spoke God's word to Israel about going to the desert to worship the Lord. Egypt heard God's word spoken to Moses, "Let my people go that they may worship me." The word, one believed, well, at least some believed, others did not. And look what happened. One ordeal through which both types of people passed, Noah versus his neighbors, Israel versus the Egyptian army. So in this teaching of Jesus, he speaks of a storm, an ordeal. Now storms, floods, they were somewhat common in Jesus' area, maybe not this severe, but they were expected. Think in our country, Southern California, what do you think? Well, earthquake. Gulf Coast, what do you think? Well, tornado. Yeah? Or hurricane. What do we think of Kansas? Tornado. All right, we think of these things. Think of us on a lesser extent. What's going to happen in winter and then in spring? Well, frost heave, right? We know that. We know that's going to happen. Well, the one who builds his foundation of his house on the bedrock, he has a reason. He knows what's coming. He knows there's a storm coming. There will be. Water will rise, erode the land, wind will blow. He knows, he plans. Accordingly, the foolish man either doesn't know or, although knows, he doesn't do anything about it. It's probably the latter. You know, Jesus doesn't call this man ignorant. He doesn't call him simple. Those are biblical words. He calls him foolish. There's a difference. The simple, the ignorant, they lack knowledge. Lacking knowledge is not itself sinful. It's how we all start this life. Children, you're in one sense simple. You learn, you're educated, you're being taught. You're to grow out of your ignorance into righteousness, knowledge. The one who is a fool, though, knows but refuses to act rightly. He's heard what will happen. He refuses to act rightly in response. Be like someone being warned that a Category 5 hurricane is going to make landfall in 2 days' time. And what's he doing? Well, he's out there putting up his tent for a little camp out he had planned on. Or we know there's going to be a massive earthquake hit, but building codes, who cares? Or we know there's going to be frost heave, but I'm not going to build down. It's foolish. Such are fools. What about you, congregation, and me? There is an ordeal coming upon each one of us. We have lesser ordeals or trials in this life. Trials, temptations, sickness, strained, broken relationships, sorrow, besetting sin, death. We know these happen. One professor I had, he used the illustration of a plastic water bottle, and you remove the lid from it, it's full of water. And then what happens? Well, you hit it, and what happens? Well, water comes out, right? Spills on the floor. Well, why is there water on the floor? Well, you could say in one sense, well, because you hit it. But the other sense is because there was water in the bottle. If there was no water in the bottle, if there was air in the bottle, there wouldn't be water on the floor, would there? So too, there will be trials in this life. You're going to get hit. What's going to come out? What are you preparing for? That's what trials and ordeals show. Now, in these trials, it might appear as though a great storm is upon us, threatening to destroy us. We go through many trials. But ultimately, what these point to is the ultimate ordeal, and that's the final judgment. Noah's flood was a judgment upon the wickedness of man. The Red Sea event was a judgment upon the wickedness of Egypt. So the final judgment, that will be a judgment upon the wickedness of each person. All those persons living on earth who have ever lived, they will be judged. Each and every human being will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And all the calamities of this life, including death, are a result of the fall into sin. All of them are a result of God's judgment against the fallen race of man. They all exist because of Adam's sin. But all these find their endpoint, their culmination, in the judgment God will pronounce upon every man, woman, boy, and girl. And that judgment, like fire for a precious metal, like storm for a well-founded house, will reveal. Reveal the righteous. Just like fire for straw, fire for a house built on sand, will reveal unrighteousness of the wicked. God will judge every person according to their work. If their works are good, that will be shown by God's judgment. If the works are wicked, that will be shown by God's judgment. There is a final judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done while in the body, whether good or evil." That's the ordeal that will come upon each person. One ordeal. Yet two results. Two results. That's what we move to in our third point. Jesus reveals the two results and they're opposite. Verse 25. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And then later, verse 27, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The house built on the rock stood firm, it did not fall. The house built on sand fell, and great was its fall. Maybe you've seen video footage of houses during a hurricane. Maybe you've been where a hurricane swept through. A number here have gone to different places and helped clean up, rebuild. That's nothing compared to the fall of the life of a fool who has heard Christ's words but did not do them. God's judgment according to works reveals the wicked have no good works. Or maybe they thought they were performing a good work because, well, I wasn't as bad as someone else. But in God's sight, they didn't perform one single good work. They didn't put into practice what Jesus said. And God judges their works as evil. And that reveals they're outside of Christ. And that means they're standing on their own. And that means they're evil. They built their life on the values, on the religions and truths that are false, sinful, fallen man rather than the solid rock of Christ. Such are doomed. Like fallen man himself, dead in trespasses and sins. Does that describe you? Let's say, well, I try to live a virtuous life. I try to live from principles taught in the Bible. Or let's say you're able to survive the storms of life, to deal with the trials that come upon you. After all, you're not addicted to drugs. Well, that's good. You're not a drunkard. Well, again, that's good. Are you safe? No. Jesus doesn't speak here of the common trials, the common rainstorms, but again, it's the great one. And someone might build their life on good principles, even biblical principles to an extent. You might be able to deal with sickness, with poverty, with the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one by going through these principles of living, by following 7 habits of highly effective people, by following Benjamin Franklin's principles for living. You might have an intact family. You might have a good bank account. But you will still encounter the great ordeal, the final judgment. What will you do then? Was it still you, and basing it on you, your piety, your supposed goodness, your hard work, your thinking and willing? No, you and I must always look to Christ. It is Christ. It's always Christ. It's only Christ. What you do with the building of your life, your thoughts, your words, your actions, what matters is the foundation. Is it built on Christ? Is your life hidden with Christ, in Christ, with God? Or are you building your life, living your life according to your own way of thinking, in your own power, your own strength, living according to what you heard on the radio or that podcast? You must turn from your wickedness. You must personally turn from your own resources. By God's grace, you must repent. And as long as someone does not repent and trust in Jesus, the anger of God and eternal condemnation rest on them. And that fall will be great. But those who hear Christ's words and do them, you're accepting the gospel promise in true faith. You're surviving. Your house will not collapse, though the storm comes. Though the severity of God's judgment be upon you, even the piercing eye of the holy God look upon you and me, it's not because of us. Your works reveal you have good works. And that reveals you are built on Christ, found in Christ. And that means God declares you to be perfectly righteous, not because of your good works, but because of Christ's work on your behalf. That means you belong to the one who conquered sin, death, decay, who lives in immortality and power. That is who you are in Christ. The one whose words we are to hear and do is the only one who was born into this world without the sin and guilt of Adam. The only one who lived a perfect life, who is himself the rock who endured even the depths of hell. Taking the fullness of God's wrath against us upon himself. To set us free. We read in 1 Peter, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit. Jesus died that accursed death on the cross. But he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose again victorious from the grave. He ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. He's not dead. Unlike every other human being, his body is glorified. What's the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection? It shows he survived the judgment. He knows what he's talking about. He endures. He is the rock. For those who trust in Jesus, you've been baptized into Christ. You've put on Christ. You're standing on that firm rock, that unshakable bedrock. We read in 1 Peter again, baptism, which now corresponds to this, now saves you. Not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ. Your baptism, embraced with the true faith, is a sign and seal you've already gone through the great ordeal of judgment in Christ's own judgment. You've been cleansed. Cleansed from God's wrath. Cleansed to serve Him. To serve with a clear conscience. And your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your building this life is not in vain in the Lord. You will die if the Lord tarries. But you will not be destroyed. You will be raised. So it's not ultimately our wisdom or foolishness that ultimately matters. It's not the builder himself that really matters. It's not the ordeal that matters. It's the foundation. The foundation makes all the difference. Christ makes all the difference. Are you rooted in Him? Belonging body and soul and life and death. Are you taking your daily life, reading His Word, reading it, not just to do it, but fathers in the home. Take your family through God's Word. Say, this is what Jesus says. Lord, forgive us for not doing this and help us to do it. And talk to your children. Say, what does this mean? What does this look like in your life? There's a lot here. And there's a lot of time we have. And yet, time is all too brief, isn't it? Don't waste that time. You know what's happening, fathers, mothers. Spend that time in the Word with your family. Now, don't misunderstand Jesus' teaching when He emphasized doing His words. It's ultimately not our works that have value. They reveal. They're evidence. Jesus has passed through it all. He's been raised. There's your security. There's your future. There's your power. As you want to do Christ's word, say, Lord, give me the strength. Fathers, again, lead your family in prayer. Say, I can't do this, Lord. We can't. Would you help? And then pray for your family members by name. Here's your security. Here's your future. Trust Him. Serve Him. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, you will endure the ordeal that will come upon every person. So when you pass through the lesser ordeals in this life, don't be overwhelmed. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of your faith. Be rooted in Him. Say, okay, I'm going through this trial. There are different resources that say, if you're going through this trial, what scriptures specifically speak of that? Go to that. Say, Lord, what do you say? Help me. Be rooted in Him. And although you're battered, you won't be broken because you're rooted on Him, built on Him. And even though you and I, we can't wrap our mind around things, step out in faith. Do what He tells you to do. He takes you in His hands. He protects you. His resurrection, it's proof He's able to do it. His promise, He does it. Brothers and sisters, hold fast to Christ. Do His words. Do what Jesus says to survive. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Jesus' words. Thank You for the grace of Your Spirit who changes us according to that word. Empower us, O Lord, to build our lives on Your word, to do them. To not just be hearers only, but doers of the word. And may that show forth in our lives, then, and as people see that, You've given us opportunities to tell them. Give us the courage to do that, to tell them about Jesus. May You receive all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.